The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I sure appreciate that prayer and the singing and all that's gone before. Thank you for calling on me, Brother Tim. It's good to see you all today. The subject that I had on my mind today comes from Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the first part of the 6th chapter. And as you're turning there, I'll make a little disclaimer here, as I've done in the past when I've preached around this particular subject, and that is that please, as we talk about this morning, please don't look at me and say, well, Brother Neil, you don't do that exactly right, because I know that in some of these areas I'm still struggling and trying to get better. But let's look at what the Scripture says today in regards to our roles as children of God and members of families. And let's look at what the standard is, what Paul wrote here to instruct us about. And I'm going to read to you from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 33rd verse, down through the first few verses of chapter 6. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now right there in those few verses, Paul tells the church at Ephesus what their roles are as members of families. Most of us would fall into one of these roles. There might be one in here somewhere that says, well, I'm no longer a child, my parents are passed on, and I don't have children, I don't have a spouse. But for most of us, we could identify with this. And why is it that the Bible has to be so direct and tell us these things? Do these things not come to us naturally? Most of the time, they don't. Now, we're blessed to live in a Judeo-Christian culture where some of the roles that are mentioned here are just understood to be the way we ought to act. But Paul was writing here to the church at Ephesus. And remember, this was almost 2,000 years ago when the world was ruled by Rome, when infanticide, laying your unwanted baby out to die, was just considered to be part of normal life. The Romans did that. And up until the last couple hundred years, and indeed in some places of the earth, it still happens today where people have often it's a female child. They want a boy, so they just let the female die. Or nowadays, of course, people perform abortions for that reason in many parts of the world. And so he's having to instruct them here. These are folks who don't understand Judeo-Christian values. Christianity is just coming to be known in the world. Most of these people didn't grow up Jews. And he's letting them know that we're valuable as people. Life is valuable. Life is precious. And the Lord has a way that he wants you to live, and a way that he wants you to bring up your children. I was studying this, I read a letter that a Roman noble who was serving at this time, right around the time of Christ, who was serving as part of the Roman Empire in Alexandria, Egypt, he wrote home to his wife in Italy, and he said, take care of our baby son. And if you deliver the next child before I come home, if it is a baby boy, take care of it. If it is a girl, leave her. A Roman noble wrote that to his wife. In other words, just leave her out and let her die. We want sons. So we think that's very strange. We wouldn't do that. And I know you wouldn't literally physically do that. It'd be illegal in our country. But that's who he's writing to. He's writing to people like that. And he's letting them know God has a purpose and a plan and a role for you. And so we read here that husbands are to love their wives as they love themselves, sacrificially. Wives are to follow their husbands and reverence and respect their husbands. Children are to obey their parents. And unless your parents ask you to do something illegal or immoral, then you just need to do what they say, child. If you're still under their roof, you just need to obey them. You say, well, what if they ask me to do something wrong? Well, come talk to Brother Tim. I'm sure he'll help you sort that out. The chance of that happening in this congregation is extremely, extremely low. Okay? For the most part, you children just need to do what your parents tell you. I know you said, Brother, no, that's very direct. I know, that's just because that's what Paul just said here. He was very direct. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, in the Lord, obey your parents. If your parents get out of the Lord, then come talk to Brother Tim. But most of the time, they're going to tell you to do things that would honor the Lord. Why was it necessary for Paul to say things like this? Why did cultures get so off track back then? It relates back to the fall. And you know this, all sin relates back to the fall that we read about in the second chapter of Genesis. And we're going to go there. But as you're turning there, I would remind you today that some of the things that Brother Tim mentioned in his introduction and asked prayer for in regards to shootings, murders and things like that that you read about on the news, Many, many of those things are due to the breakdown of the family.
Yes.
Amen. They really are. The family seems like a small thing. Our little individual families, it's just us out there in our little homes raising our children. But if that falls to the wayside, if people don't do that, what you see are things like we have going on in our country right now in large cities like Chicago and Birmingham right down the road, where it's like a war zone. And you read about almost every weekend, it's two or three or more people just getting shot in the streets. Why does that happen? The mayor can't do anything about it. The sheriff can't do anything about it. The chief of police can't do anything about it. The reason they can't do anything about it is because it started 20 years ago, 18 years ago, 25 years ago, when those young men doing that were children in a home somewhere and there was no father there to tell them how to act. Amen. There was no mother taking them to church. That's where it started. And you can't rewind time. Now, you can always start over and God can be merciful and can be gracious. But don't expect it to get solved from the top down, folks.
Right.
Brother Tim's right. You be careful where you go. Because families have gone by the wayside. And when that happens, cultures crumble and fall.
That's right.
You got a Roman noble at the peak of the power of Rome writing to his wife, "Leave the baby out in the street to die." Where's Rome today? Where's that empire that ruled the known world and had soldiers and military might and wealth the likes of which we've never seen in the dustbin of history? Why? Because they were doing stuff like that.
Right.
Why is it important then? Over in Genesis, the first chapter, we'll be real brief here. The Lord tells how he made man and woman. And in the first chapter, he tells you about it. But in the second chapter, he elaborates on how he did it. And you find in the second chapter of Genesis, as you get down into the 20th verse, Adam is there and the Lord is bringing the animals before him. And Adam, the most brilliant man who's ever lived outside the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was created without sin here, is very smart. He's naming the animals and he looks around and he notices something. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet. So here's the giraffe. The giraffe has a mate. Here's a cow. Cow has a mate. White-tailed deer got a doe. Where's mine? You know, Adam is sinless at this point. He's not sinned yet, but he's not complete. And the Lord knew that Adam wouldn't be complete until he gave him a spouse. Why did he make him wait around on it a few hours? This all happened in one day, so Adam didn't have to wait for a spouse very long. I think the reason that the Lord didn't give him immediately one like he did the other animals is he wanted Adam to see that he had a need for something. You teenagers are in this position now, aren't you? Now, time has gone by. We're under the fall. We're under sin. It's a little different. Nowadays, you come into being a young man or a young lady, 12, 13, 14, whatever, and you may not get married for 10 years. You got to wait a little bit longer on your spouse than Adam did, right? I used to wonder about that. Lord, why did you make us teenagers and we had to wait years to get married? Maybe the Lord wanted you to appreciate your spouse the way Adam learned to appreciate Eve. He waited a little while on her. And I'll tell you, if you're a teenager today and you don't have your spouse yet, young adult, you don't have your spouse yet, pray. And understand that when you do, those years of waiting should make you appreciate that one when the Lord does bring them your way.
Right.
And don't spend those years like some of us did when we were that age and just wasting your time in one relationship after another.
Amen.
Getting your heart broken, breaking other people's hearts. Don't do that.
Amen.
Okay, keep a little distance when you're that age until the Lord brings you that spouse. And then when he does, hold on to them and be grateful. Like Adam no doubt was with Eve. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept and he took one of his ribs and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. The Lord performs a surgery there. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Pay attention to that language. The Lord brought him that spouse. That was a gift from God. And the Bible tells us when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And if they had not sinned here in the garden and been driven from the garden, you know what would have happened in time? The Lord would also have brought along children. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Psalm 127 says what? They're a heritage of the Lord's, right? They're the fruit of the womb is his reward. And Adam said, "This is the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So here's how it was in the beginning. You had Adam. Adam looks around. I don't have a spouse. The Lord brings him one. Now they sin and they are driven from the garden and some years go by before they had children. If they had not sinned, the children would have also been that unequivocal, undeserved blessing from God just there in the garden and living in happiness. Now it's not like that now, is it? Which is why Paul has to write here to the Ephesians and remind them of some things. Okay, and remind them that the family is something God created. God gave mankind some good and perfect gifts. I believe the church is one. Absolutely. I believe a godly nation where we can worship in freedom is one. Absolutely. I believe that with all my heart. But the foundation of those institutions is that first institution that God gave man.
Amen.
One man and one woman for life until death do them part.
Amen.
And the primary foundational institution that the Lord gave to bring up children is also that marriage relationship. Our churches suffer when families suffer and when people don't do what they're supposed to do in this relationship. So we talked here about, you know, the responsibility of women to follow their husband, of men to love their wives sacrificially, children to obey. But then, and this is what I really like to focus on here for the next few minutes, verse 4. Because see here, this is where the structure, I think, in our country is primarily getting the feet knocked out from under it, if you will. Is in the role of fathers. Like I said, don't look at me as an example of how to be a father, please. Okay, look to the Scripture. Now, I might have some characteristics in my life you could follow, but I've got some that you certainly don't want to follow. And don't ask my wife after service what they are, because you might be here all day if she were really honest with you. And she probably would be too nice to say, because she respects me. But I assure you, I've got problems. But this is the scriptural standard in verse 4. And ye fathers, and remember, Paul has to remind them what a father should do. Because this is a day and time when fathers will literally leave their baby outside to die. Okay? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of who? Of Hollywood?
No.
Of Disney? Of whatever curriculum they may be studying at school, wherever they go to school? Maybe, maybe not. No. Of the Lord, right?
Amen.
See, the Lord's got a nurture and admonition that belongs to Him.
Right.
And Paul's letting you know here, regardless of what your culture is, regardless of what your belief system is, regardless of how you grew up, here's how I want you to do it. And let me tell you, this verse, you could preach on this for several days. It's very short. Many of you probably know it by heart. And you could read it in about 2 seconds. But it's going to be hard for me in here in 10 or 15 minutes to tell you everything that it means, but I'd ask you to study it. But here's some things that I believe it does mean. Ye fathers, the underpinning of the home has to be the father. Now, you might think it's the mother. And the mother is certainly the keeper of the home, okay? She is the one that honestly does a lot of the work of the home. But at the end of the day, where the buck stops is with the dad. Now, if your home doesn't have a father, what did the Lord tell His disciples in Mark chapter 10?
Yeah.
In Zion, you got many fathers. You got many mothers, you got many brothers, and you got many sisters.
Right.
But the underpinning there is supposed to be the father. Now, if no one's ever told you that, father, okay, it's been in the Bible a long time.
Amen.
Okay? And nobody told me it for a few years. I had read it before, but I didn't know what it meant. But now we need to educate ourselves. Because we're being instructed here not to provoke our children to wrath. In other words, we're not to be unnecessarily hard or mean or harsh. Okay? We're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Now, nurture is the way you'd nurture a plant. You know, you take care of it, you provide for it, you water it, you fertilize it, all those things. Admonition, on the other hand, is the discipline side. But isn't it interesting here that Paul tells us we're supposed to do both? What the culture today would tell us is if you just give the child the right nurture, everything will be fine. It's not about nature, it's about nurture. Take any child, put them in the right environment, they'll turn out fine. What the Bible says is that's part of the picture, but that's not all of it.
Right.
You can give a child nice clothes and a warm house and plenty to eat, and they can make a mess of their lives if we don't admonish them and teach them.
Amen.
So how do we do it? We're to bring them up.
Amen.
Bring them up. That's a simple statement, but I'm telling you, it is loaded.
Yeah.
And I believe one reason that the Lord gave men, you know, determination and testosterone and muscle and stamina is so they could do this.
Amen.
It's not because the Lord caused sin in the world. It's just that the Lord saw past sin and knew what we would need to do to help fix a lot of it.
Amen.
Now, you and I can't fix our eternity, right? The Lord knew we would sin. The Lord knew Adam and Eve would sin. The Lord knew that if He didn't intervene, that they would go straight to punishment in eternal damnation of hellfire. And so the Lord intervened, did He not? He chose the people before the foundation of the world. He died for them on the cross. He sends His Spirit to them. All of your eternity is wrapped up in the work of the triune Godhead, God the Father choosing, God the Son dying, God the Spirit giving you spiritual life. But we read here in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. There is a sense in which here in time, we men have to save our families from some things. Okay? God didn't give men strong bodies and determination and testosterone and ambition and aggressiveness just to waste it in pursuits of this life.
Amen.
He gave it to you, I believe, because He saw sin coming. He knew what would be required, and He knew somebody had to be strong and take care of business. And our business as fathers is to be bringing them up. Think about what that means. Brother Tim is sitting over there next to a pile of songbooks this morning. If I said, Brother Tim, could you bring me one of those songbooks? Don't, Brother Tim. But if I ask him to, what is he going to do? He's going to pick up that songbook, and he's going to carry it across the room, and he's going to lay it down right here for me. Okay? What does that imply when it tells us to bring up our children? It implies this. There are some things they can't do for themselves. And it's not just changing their own diaper.
Right.
Because this is bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in terms of spiritual things. There are things that your children need to know that they won't figure out on their own. It's like picking up that songbook and bringing it and putting it in a different place. Or if you're sitting at the table and you say, honey, could you please bring me a cup of coffee? The cup of coffee doesn't have legs. It can't act for itself.
Right.
There's a sense in children where we fathers are supposed to look at them as though they need me to pick them up spiritually and bear them somewhere. It's not to heaven because Jesus can only do that. But it is here in this life from taking them from a state of spiritual ignorance and not understanding the Lord and not understanding the precepts of the Scripture. And it is my job, failed man though I am, to pick them up spiritually and bring them to the point when they leave my home and they leave and cleave and they find their spouse that they know what they're supposed to do.
Amen.
And only a father can really do that.
Right.
I love our pastor. He would do anything for you. He would die for you if required. I believe that. But you're only with him an hour and a half a week or 2.5 hours a week if you come on Wednesday. He cannot instruct our children in everything they need to know in the Bible. We have to do some of it.
Amen.
We can follow His lead. But it's our job, and we're to bring them up,
right,
not down.
Right.
If I let them follow the natural course of the genetics that they've inherited from Ilhoni, you know where they'll go in this life? Down.
Right. Amen.
I got problems. I've got addictions. I got things wrong with me that I have passed on to them.
Right.
Do you understand? My family has a tendency toward alcohol addiction. If I don't caution them, if I don't instruct them, if I don't beseech them, if I don't teach them, they'll fall prey to that, no doubt. It might be different for you. What is your weakness, man? Is it a struggle with pornography? Is it addiction to alcohol or nicotine or some substance? Is it credit card debt? Is it wanting to hunt too much? Is it not wanting to be in church because you want to sleep in? What is it? Think about what it is for you and don't let your children go down to that. Bring them up.
Right.
Bring them out of it. Adam had some flaws and some faults. God brought him Eve and gave him Eve. But then he messed it up. And here we are today and we're down and we're low. And we needed a Savior to bring us up out of that and secure heaven for us. But let me tell you, every child needs a father here in life to bring them out of some of those things that they've inherited from their family that are just around them in the world. And my job is not to bring them down to where I am. My job is not to say, oh, that's just the way we are. We honies, boy, we're just like that. We are like that. We got to be better than that.
Amen.
Look at where your fault lies. And say, God, give me the grace to overcome it because I don't want my kids to be like that. I need to bring them up.
Amen.
Up. That's what the Bible, you know, when the Bible talks about going up, we read in Micah 4 that there would be many that would come up to Zion. When the Bible says to raise up holy hands, up is usually a positive. Down is usually a negative. Most of the time, you don't want to go down into Egypt. You want to go up to Zion. We're to bring them up, see?
Amen.
Not bring them down. And the nurture and admonition that we bring them into is not my nurture and admonition. It is the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
There's a big difference. A huge difference between the things that are important to the Lord and the things that are important to us as human beings. And we've been shown that by grace, have we not? The Lord shows us those things when we're born again, that there's something that I ought to be a little uncomfortable about in me. You know, I've heard some people say, I just want my kids to be happy. I'm not really that concerned. I want them to have a good life now. I do. But I'm not really that concerned with their momentary happiness. I'm more concerned with their righteousness. Because for them to go on in life and really enjoy life and live a full life, live a, as Paul says here, a long life, and not just long in years, but long in enjoyment and fulfillment. Listen, momentary happiness won't get them that. They need the wisdom of the Scripture to get them that. I could leave them a lot of money. They could wreck their lives. I could give them the things that they want right now, and it could destroy them if they don't have the wisdom to know how to use it.
Right.
I'm to bring them up in His nurture and His admonition.
Amen.
You know, one problem that we have as a culture, I'm sad to say, is we're not a bring them up culture anymore.
Right.
We're a drop them off culture. Have you thought about that? What do we often primarily do with our children? Are we spending every single spare minute that we can claw away from the world working to bring them up? Or are we just looking for another place to drop them off? Now, again, I'm not the standard on this, and I realize this can make us all a little uncomfortable. But this is what the Bible says. We bring them up. Now, see, back in the day when Paul was writing this, people didn't want the child. They didn't think anything about just dropping them off in the road. Mm-hmm. Somebody might take them in. Somebody might not. If they had a child they didn't want, you know, sometimes the mother, I don't want to be too direct here in a mixed crowd, but would feed the baby opium and her breast milk. And the baby would just die. And nobody really know why. It was very, very common back then to just drop a child you didn't want. And that's still very common today. You know, the Chinese have this huge imbalance between male and female in their culture. Y'all understand that, right? Why? Because they aborted all the babies that were female. Because a lot of them wanted boys. You know, they still do that in parts of the world. Look at all the ancient pagan cultures, all the way from the Eskimos down to the Solomon Islands to the Indian nation where it still goes on. Infanticide was part of it. Let them go. Don't need them. Now, we don't do that in our nation in a natural, physical sense. See, Satan's managed to repackage a lot of things. On the surface, we value life. But sometimes in a spiritual way, we're just looking for somewhere to drop them off. I've done that. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not the standard here. The Bible is. But, you know, we have conversation. I'm not saying it's always wrong to drop your kids off somewhere. But you know what was really wrong for me to do? Is to drop them off into a situation before they're spiritually mature enough to handle it. Okay, maybe I have a young teenager and I just go drop them off to spend time with their boyfriend or girlfriend. That's not wise. Very unwise. They're not ready for that, okay? They might be 25 and not be ready for that. Certainly not when they're 13. And I've heard things like this. People say, well, you know, I just dropped them off for the weekend. What? Where? I mean, you know, that's not my job is to just drop them off. I'm to be bringing them up, right? If I if I just drop them off at the hangout, or I drop them off with a stranger that doesn't care anything about them and doesn't know their needs and doesn't know where they're weak, oh, what have I done to be bringing them up? Not drop them off. Fathers, oh, I love you. And I know this is hard things to say, but it's just been on my mind all week like a cloud. Because I wonder, do I do that? Are there times when I should be bringing up one of these little ones and I just drop them off in front of a video so I can go do my thing? Yeah, I've done it. But that's not what I'm supposed to do. You see, bringing them up requires engagement. The first Adam brought us down. I believe we'll see him in heaven someday. And, you know, we're not going to be throwing any blame or anything like that there. But the Bible calls it like it is. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, spiritual and physical. What did Adam do? He dropped us off. He was with Eve when she took that fruit. The Bible says he was. Why didn't he step in there? Why didn't he do something? He was weak. Man, don't be that. Amen. Jesus took care of your eternity. I'm talking about right now. This is not the Garden of Eden. It's dangerous. There's some bad things going on out there. Listen, I don't want to let them down. Okay, I'm with them. I need to bring them up. He brought us down. What is our job now? Our privilege, our responsibility, a direct commandment from the Scripture. I'm not in charge of my kids' eternal destination. Thank the Lord. Oh, I rejoice when one of them joins the church. I rejoice when one of yours joins the church and they express a belief, because it tells me they know in their heart they belong to Him. Okay. But see, while we're here in this time world, okay, that's my Eve back there. And I'm her Adam. And I don't need to let her down. And those little ones that came from her, it's not my job to drop them off, let them down, push them away. It's my job to bring them up. Amen. Young ones, while you're waiting on your Adam or your Eve for God to bring them along, meditate on these things. Learn the Bible. Amen. Know what it says. Okay. Don't be part of the drop-off culture. Be part of the culture that brings them up right. Amen. When you have your own. And you know what would happen? All this violence and stuff. If people would do this for the next generation, you know where all that would go? It'd go away.
Amen.
Those people die off. They'd all shoot each other. And we'll be back where this country was 100 years ago.
Amen.
Where most people lived and tried to do the right thing.
That's right.
God bless us to do it. It starts with your little family and your little home.
Amen.
Why did God do it that way, Brother Neil? I don't know. It just seemed right to the Lord to do it that way. God bless you. And pray for me.